Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. And as we do every Thursday morning, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our buddy, Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, good morning. How are you?
What's going on, gents? How you doing this morning?
We are awesome. Rex Road is fully rested up from the beach vacation last week that he took. He's ready to go.
Yeah, got some pictures. Too. I'll send you some pics, Charles, me on the beach.
Yeah. We didn't talk about you at all, just taking a little vacation right in the middle of the heart of football season and everything else going on. Nothing like a little.
Kuharsky definitely did not bring that up.
Fall break is a Tennessee phenomenon. I don't know, man. I just do what I'm a Tennessean. What do you want me to do?
I don't know. I was working with a couple other Tennesseans that day. I don't know, like, you know what you want me to do.
I work hard, Charles.
There is that. So, Charles, speaking of Tennesseans, not going well for the Tennessee Titans right now. And I said earlier on the show this week, I'm officially out on Levis. I know that we've talked about examples around the league of other players surfacing elsewhere and becoming good quarterbacks, and maybe that does happen with him somewhere down the road. But personally, I'm out on Levis. I have seen enough at this point to make my determination. I don't necessarily expect the Titans to agree with that, but as you watch him play, as you watch this team play, as you talk about this team with other people around the league, what comes to mind and what do you make of just the ineptitude that we continue to see on the offensive side of the football?
Well, I think the way I kind of look at it is, look at Drake May, okay? Go in and look at the Patriots offense in week 5, and then look at the Patriots offense in week 6. And, you know, obviously Jacoby Brissett he's a backup quarterback in the NFL. You know, he's going to be a spot starter at times. So he'll have a nice, solid, long career. He has had a long career. That's what he is. So, you know, I don't want to be careful making the comparison from 1 week to the next, but May stepped into a situation with the Patriots. Offensive line is absolutely destroyed. I think there are two reasons why they ended up starting him, which I didn't agree with initially. I thought, you know, why are you going to roll him out there? The line is as bad as it's been all season long. It progressively got worse, and now you're making the decision to roll him out under the assumption that, well, okay, he's turned some kind of a corner where it comes to the absorption of the offense or whatever else you're seeing in practice. And I think part of it had to do with, okay, they probably think the offensive line situation is not getting better, could deteriorate and actually get worse from where it is now. So we're always going to face that problem with them. But then, from what I understood, the second factor was there were offensive players, specifically receivers, who were like, we need to get the dude out here. Like, we need somebody to get us the ball, okay? Like, we need – and I don't think it was a huge knock against Brissett. It was just sort of like, the receiver saw this was somebody who could make things happen on offense, spark things. He definitely had the ability to, I think, get the ball to players in positions where they could do something with it. And from what I understood internally, that was part of the Brissett decision, was just receivers were very much in favor of it. So they make the change. I'm like, all right, let's see what happens. He turned the ball over 3 times, two picks, a strip sack fumble. One of the picks was an insane interception that I can't even believe this Texans player picked it off. Like, it was wild when you watch it. But when I watched what he did, there was a level of confidence that he had. He hits DeMario Douglas at one point with this, it was a slant, right? But he hits him so perfectly with it. Douglas takes it for like a, you know, plus touchdown. That was like 40, 50 yards. I can't remember off the top of my head what exactly it was. He hits Keyshawn Booty for like a 40-yard touchdown on a post route, the only post route they run the entire game. Perfect ball, right? He hits Hunter Henry. I think it was an out route. All of these, there was just a level of confidence watching him throw the ball. There was a when he made mistakes, he didn't. That was another thing too. I'm like, okay, is this where he goes in the tank? Is this where the wheels come off? It didn't happen. And now it's only one game, and he could be awful the rest of the season. I could look like an idiot. But it concerns me when I see certain guys step in, and immediately you see a spark. Which I guess that did happen with Levis too. I remember Levis's first start, thinking, okay, wow, here we go, and it was a really big game. but it progressively, especially this year, you've just seen progressively one moment after another, him not have the ability to respond, you know, to get some sort of traction. And especially with the skill position pieces, they are much better in Tennessee than they are in New England. And, you know, so that to me is one of these examples where I look elsewhere and I'm like, is this situation worse? Yes. Is there every reason for this guy to fail in this moment? Yes. And then he doesn't. And, you know, so it's obviously it's not a perfect one for one, but, you know, I think after a while you're just like, to me, and I know Joe disagrees with this, I think you got to pull back a little bit. And I actually thought against Indianapolis in a bad defense. Let me ask you guys, I mean, don't you think offensively it was clear that there was a limitation on that playbook, like a limitation of exposure? Like, didn't you feel like,
yeah, we've been talking
that
about
game,
that
like,
all week.
Yeah, they were protecting him, right? I mean, that's what it felt like. They're starting to limit, you know, potential for him to make mistakes. And I'm not saying that means he's done, but that's definitely a sign that they're going back to the drawing board and trying to figure out, okay, how can we change the dynamic here to give him a chance for at least some limited success? And then hope to build on that. It's a tough, you know, position to be in, but realistically, most quarterback draft picks it doesn't work out. And so if it doesn't, I know it would be disappointing for Titans fans, but that happens all across the league with multiple guys. Even with the success of the rookie class this year, which I think has been remarkably successful so far, the four guys who have started, I guarantee all four of those guys aren't going to make it. Like, there's going to be some failure within that group, and then we'll see what happens with Penix and McCarthy. I think now, you know, if you're a Titans fan and it gets worse than 1-4, you start focusing on what's the next, you know, quarterback draft class look like.
Yay!
Yeah, I mean, I hate to make this joke, but it should bond Tennessee fans to Lions fans. I remember covering the Lions. And one day it was Mari Morin-Wagon's first year. They start 0-2, and this was back before social media. This is when they had message boards, right? And it's 0-2, and I'm sitting in the you know, like the little reporter's cubby or whatever, and I'm looking at one of the message boards, and there's a Lions fan who said, and this is 0-2, it was mid September. He says, "Man, I really hate this downtime before the draft." That's the Lions experience, 100%. They're 0-2, it's over. Let's start thinking about the draft.
Well, let's go there because, first of all, my God, like, does Dan Campbell just hate Jerry Jones? That's one thing I'd love to know because he's seriously trying to get everybody but the long snapper a touchdown.
Also,
the Lions, I mean, they look – pretty freaking good, but now they've lost their best defensive player. So I proposed, as you know, just as a possibility, Harold Landry, as you know, the Titans, as you know, they're headed toward being sellers, of course. I mean, now the question is, you know, you're going to sell off someone you still think can be good for a few years when you can't just wait forever to be good. But I proposed Harold Landry, and I said, if I'm the Titans, I'm not doing this unless I get a first back, which I know sounds rich for a Harold Landry, but the Lions could be desperate here. There's also Myles Garrett. There's Max Crosby, and Mark Davis is talking about no way we're trading him. Also, Tom Brady's going to train all of our quarterbacks. But how do you see that playing out, and do you think that my idea has any validity to it?
I would love that for the Lions. I really would. And I'd love it for the Titans if you could get a first out of Landry. It's rich, you know, and the one thing that gives me pause, and I mean, I guess the Lions at this point, they just signed Billy McNeil. They're doing deals with everybody.
Yeah.
Apparently they're not worried about finances no matter what, but they've got, you know, like Hutchinson is, I think he gets extended this offseason despite the gruesome leg injury. I think he's the rarer defensive end who after 3 years gets treated like a quarterback, where it's like, we're not going to wait for 4 years to do you. We're going to extend you after three. And so there's that in play. They already have to do a big extension with him. I wonder if Landry were dealt, whether or not he would want a contract adjustment or not, because he's still got a couple years left on his deal that are you know, it's not like the paycheck's horrible, but I mean, he could probably push if he got dealt and say, hey, I want a little extra money kicked into my deal, or, you know, some guaranteed money that's not there. I want that put into the deal. So I think that could complicate it. But really what I think complicates it is that Hassan Reddick at this point with the Jets, even for ham sandwich, like the Jets are so up a creek with him and it's so nasty. And I know the Lions checked in on Reddick as soon as he changed representation. Obviously got dumped by CAA and Drew Rosenhaus picked him up and they're doing everything they can to trade him. I think Reddick is probably at very best, they're probably looking at getting like a fourth that graduates into a third, which is similar to what, you know, they gave up to Philly to get him. And I think Reddick now being where he is at this point in the season, I don't know that he necessarily pushes for his contract to be redone the way he was with the Jets. So, you know, Reddick, it's just ultimately going to be a cheaper option on the table than Landry. I would much rather have Landry. But again, it's just all about what ultimately do you have to give up at this point. And I don't think Reddick's the only guy either. Like in a perfect world, do I think that they could make, you know, try to make a run for like a Max Crosby and go, okay, let's figure out financially how we can do this and maybe have Crosby and Hutchinson long-term. That is a absolute pie in the sky. I mean, you'd have to hire like three more cap people at that point to try and figure out
Miles Garrett.
How are we going to, yeah, I mean, like Miles is another guy, but those were, so I reached out to somebody of the Raiders and I was like, you know, is there any shot that the Lions would have at Crosby? And because I don't think he's like Mark Davis's favorite Raider ever, I think. And I don't think Mark Davis would deal him, but I asked this individual, I said, well, you know, what do you think? And he said, I think Mark would never do it. However, he's like, if Max were to demand a trade, like he was like, basically Max would have to pull a Devontae and be like, I have a calf. I'm not playing anymore. And, you know, figure it out behind the scenes, tell him, figure out, you know, deal me. And then like Crosby would be you're talking multiple firsts, like a massive, like he would get almost anybody in the league, I think at this point would give up two first plus, maybe three firsts for him, you know, at this stage. Like that's the kind of level of player I think he's considered. So, but yeah, I mean, and plus there's time to poke around. I think they also are smartly going to go, okay, well, let's see how we look. We have more time to get additional games under our belt. Dallas might just be an outlier. They looked fantastic defensively against Dallas. But Joe, I mean, I'm with you. I think up front, I just don't see how it doesn't change. He like Hutchinson, last year he was good. This year he was great. I think he is absolutely the guy that flips the switch on that offense or that defense up front. They already had defensive injuries up front coming into the season that were problematic. I think they have to do something, but I don't know that it, you know, necessarily they want to run out there and burn a first. But also, I will say this, like, if you're going to do it now, because your window is now. Absolutely. Yes. This is your Super Bowl window. So go ahead and, like, burn that first. Burn it now, because you can't let this close or just assume, like Campbell said last year, you may not be here, you know, next year, and he's got to feel like that right now.
So, Charles, you bring up Devontae there. Now that the trade has gone down, you got the Jets at 2-4 with, I guess, Davante Adams trying to come in and help save their season here. Amari Cooper goes to Buffalo, who the Titans will see coming up on Sunday. What do you make of those two moves?
Well, they were both. The Jets and Adams has felt like something that was going to happen forever. Like Adams and Aaron were like, they never stopped texting each other. Like their friendship. And I don't even want to say it was like a real rocky patch, but I think Aaron was surprised. I think Aaron thought when he did his extension in Green Bay that Adams was going to come in behind him, do his extension. They were going to end up, you know, being there together. And Adams was like, nope, I'm good. I'm tired of waiting in line for this. I'm going to dip and I'm going to the Raiders and they're going to blow out my salary. And, you know, I get to play with Derek Carr. And I think Rodgers was, he would have never said it publicly, but when you talk to people close to him, they were like, yeah, he was surprised by that. And he was, you know, he was a little upset. But not for I think he was happy to see Adams get paid, but he was just like, I thought we were going to do this together here, that, you know, all the chaos and kind of ruckus we raised in Green Bay was to get it done here. And then when it didn't, the fact that Adams kind of did it without telling Rodgers, it even surprised Rodgers. So I think once that wore off a little bit, the two, from what I was told, they maintained contact all this time. Once Carr was out with the Raiders, Adams, even though he did everything publicly to say the right things, I mean, it was clear he wanted out of there, particularly when they brought in Garoppolo. I was told inside the Raiders organization that it was clear that Adams was like, you really? Like, I came here to be with this guy? Like, this is like that. I think that was the straw that kind of broke the camel's back there when Josh McDaniels brought in Garoppolo. And the plan was they were going to trade him last offseason, but then the regime got fired. Dave Ziegler, the general manager, Josh McDaniels, both get fired. But they had planned to trade him this past offseason. So that gets remixed once they get ousted. But he and Rodgers never stopped talking to each other. And every time we go through the Jets, it was clear the Jets were like, yeah, we can add this guy. Like, as soon as the price is where it needs to be, we can add this guy. Well, the price wasn't where it needed to be, but the desperation was. It was clear Rodgers wanted to add that additional piece. I have no idea how it'll affect the offense. I really don't. I mean, to me, there's elements of it that don't make sense because I still think he's an intermediate to deep guy, and they've had issues. Rodgers is getting rid of the ball so fast. I'd be curious to see how exactly they're going to fold him into that offense and where they're going to get him the ball. Because, I mean, like, even Garrett Wilson, most of the stuff Garrett Wilson's been doing there has not been super developed routes because they just don't have the opportunity. Aaron's like, I got to get this thing out. So that doesn't surprise me at all. The Bills one, I knew the Bills were shopping for a receiver for a while. You know, they were thin already. Keon Coleman, they're still trying to make the X thing work with him. I still think he would be better as a big slot. But, you know, Cooper is a true X. You bring in, the price is where it needed to be. He's playing horribly, though, in Cleveland. I'll say that. Like, his play had dropped off significantly. I felt like every Browns game I watched this year, I'd see a horrendous drop from him. And that's not his thing. He's a hands guy. He's a hands and routes guy. He can do that. And but, yeah, he's – part of me wonders if he had just grown tired of what was going on in Cleveland. Was
having
like,
to
no
catch
confidence.
Deshaun Watson passes? Yes.
Yeah. Losing the confidence of it. Just being like, you know, and – he had spates of that, I thought, in Dallas, where you were like some games where you're like, man, he does not seem completely mentally checked into this game right now. And so, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he goes to Buffalo and you see the high end version of him, what's left of that. I will tell you this, two other teams that are shopping hard right now, Pittsburgh is trying really, really hard to add to the wide receiver room. And the Chiefs are absolutely like hammering the market. And when I talked to people leading into and coming out of the Adams trade, I was told like by multiple people, watch the Chiefs and the Steelers. Like they're going to be the next team. They're absolutely going to add before the deadline at some point. Different types of players, though. I think the Steelers are looking for, they really want an adult in the room. Like they need, like Pickens is just.
Like DeAndre Hopkins, for example.
I mean, like, I think Hopkins would fit, like, if you're talking about, like, a sort of a higher-end acquisition. I think if you're talking, like, mid-level acquisition, like an Adam Thielen from the Panthers, I think is a possibility. I think the Chiefs are just looking for talent. You know, they're like, let's just go get the best guy we can possibly get, which is why I think you see a lot of people who are connecting Hopkins to the Chiefs. And so, you know, those will be other guys, I think, look, the Bengals aren't going to – they're not going to do another tag on T. Higgins. So I think you're going to see T is going to be a guy that's going to be available. You're going to see
– even if they turn it around. Even if they – like they're hanging on the fringe right now.
So here's the thing. If they turn it around, I think – I mean, remember, you got till November 5. So they really have to show that what you've seen – is what is going to happen, you know, the remainder of the season, plus Burrow factors. Those are the two things that I think complicate this, because they're not going to deal with Burrow. It's like, you're not dealing with this guy. He just got back in the offense. Look at what the offense looks like. Look at how I'm playing right now. You can't take this guy away. But I'm telling you, they're not paying him. they're not going to pay. And the only way he gets paid is if they decide they're not paying Jamar Chase and they figure out a way to recoup whatever they can get out of Jamar Chase. And then they slide over to T and they go, okay, well, here's the deal Chase won't take. Where are we at on this? And then he becomes the number one there and they ultimately end up dealing Jamar Chase. But I'm telling you, it's the same situation. They're staring at this going, we're not going to pay this. I mean, I think his tag next year would be like 26 plus, 26 million plus. I think if they were to tag him again, it's just because Burrow's flat out told ownership, like, if you don't do this, you're going to have a problem with me. And my long-term future here is going to be up in the air at that point. So I think he could obviously affect it. Mike Williams with the Jets, he's out. Like they're trying to figure out. I think there's even a chance that if they deal Reddick, they could try to screw with a team that's picking up Reddick and say, hey, let's do a package. Like if you could take Mike Williams,
please take
too.
Mike too. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean they're trying. You know, it's like a salary offload with him, and you know, obviously Rodgers said what he said after the loss to Buffalo about him not being in the right spot. Which, by the way, I think. I don't know if Rodgers should have said it, but he was right. I mean, right. Mike did not run the route the way it was supposed to be run. Trying to think of who else. There were like 5-6 receivers that, you know, Hopkins is a guy that, so here's the thing with Hopkins. If you're the Titans, it's what is the return, you know? So if the return, if it's paltry, if you're talking about like a fifth, a team's like, look, we're not giving anything but a fifth. It is what it is. The situation with him and his age, I think you have to ask yourself, is it worth us, you know, because at that point you're just trying to get out of salary. And is it really worth taking something off the field that maybe helps continue to develop Levis or at least showcases, you know, you're leaving a piece in place basically to give yourself potentially to win games. And then obviously to also give yourself an ability to continue to get the most authentic, I guess, report or look at Levis as possible, you know, whereas if you take him off, you know, it just, anytime you take talent away from a quarterback, I think that messes with the assessment or it gives you a different kind of assessment. We've already seen that kind of assessment last season with Levis. So you want to add more around him to understand how he'll function with the most talent on the field. I would ask you guys, if somebody offers you a fifth for Hopkins, do you take that?
It's not exciting, but I mean, it's an expiring deal.
At this point, I don't think he's going to be here next year anyway. So I would probably take.
Well, he's not. But I mean, like it's like what, like weigh that out. What signal are you sending? Right. Like you're basically telling, unless there's someone else on that wide receiver depth chart where you're like, we got to get this guy more opportunities. We have to open up, you know, catch opportunities for this
Traylon
other player.
Burks or
that's
NWI.
One thing. Okay. I mean, maybe, whatever.
I think I totally hear you. And we've talked about that on the Levis thing. Like if this is an evaluation of Levis year, then now you take away, now, of course, nothing is working now. I'd say if the next couple weeks, if they get blown out and he and Levis continues to struggle, then I think it's just like, you know, you try to recoup some things, right? But maybe if things flip, at least offensively, maybe that makes it a little tougher
right.
to do.
That affects it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like I do think that's the process you go through weighing is, and that's why I think November 5th being that date and there being a couple of weeks before we get there is what can change the market pretty significantly. I can't remember what happened. Oh, I remember what happened last year. Denver. I mean, Denver was going to unload like a ton of guys last year at the deadline. I mean, it was like Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy. I mean, it was like everybody in Denver. And then they like won a game. I just remember like something happened closer to the deadline where it was like, oh, that shifted things. And next thing you knew, it was like it completely tightened up. And I heard like, oh, yeah, no, Denver's kind of pushing a harder bargain on these guys. They don't seem as willing to you know, soften the price and it just closed the door. And it was because I think they had some success all of a sudden closer to the deadline. So that can definitely change the picture here. I think Pittsburgh though, if you're sitting there and you're a Titans fan, you're going where could they potentially ship like a DeAndre Hopkins? I think Pittsburgh is they've been trying to get a wide receiver like all season. I was there in the you know, training camp. They were trying. They thought they had the Ayuk deal was done. Package was agreed. You know, like 49ers are like, we're just waiting. Like, is all Ayuk's got to do is say yes, and we close it, and then he just didn't. And they didn't stop after that. They continued to try. You know, they called on Adams, and it was clear Devontae was not going to Pittsburgh. And that's the thing too. Like Pittsburgh, I think they have their own. This Russell Wilson thing, like, he's starting again. Like, it's just like, it was weird, and I don't know if I brought it up last week's show, but it was weird on the Sunday night broadcast, I think it was last week, where, not just this past week, over a week ago, where Collinsworth and Tirico were talking about Russ, and I'm listening to him. I'm like, whoa, this sounds like Mike Tomlin told them, in production meetings, we're starting that guy again. He's going to get a start, but you can't say that, but we're going to start him. It just, from the comments like Collinsworth was making, he was so sure Russell Wilson absolutely is going to be a starting quarterback in Pittsburgh again. And I even commented on it, and people kind of ripped me. They're like, that doesn't mean, I'm like, okay. I think him opening up starting snaps during the course of this week, you know, it could be a Jedi mind trick where you're like, okay, you know, we're going to make it look to Russ like we gave him an opportunity to get this job back, and then ultimately we're going to keep sticking with Fields. I think Tomlin wants to start Russ. I really do. I think he looks at Justin and he says, yes, there's a special aspect of the running dynamic that he brings to the table, but I still think Mike does not believe they are accessing the passing game at the level that they potentially could if Russell Wilson steps in there. I really think he wants to get a look at him. So that's another thing they got to sort out, obviously, too, before the deadline. And I wonder how much that plays into an acquisition. Because I can tell you right now, when I brought up Pittsburgh to someone in the Devontae trade, they just laughed. Like, this was like 2 weeks ago. They were like, he's not going there. That quarterback situation? They're like, no way. Not in a million years. He's not going to go there. That's not happening.
Well, Charles, great stuff, man, as always. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. And we will talk to you next week.
Okay, and before, real quick, the rant, I cannot believe like any self-respecting program
in
a million years. Here's the question I have for you, because I have not seen this. Did they know when this person signed up for this, did they know that he was a Penn State fan?
I think
so. And they still went through it?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what happened.
Somebody
got fired, right?
Pocket change. I need to hear from USC this week for sure.
Yeah, that is unbelievable. And you're right. Like, I think it's overdone. The SEC is different. I do agree with it. I think it's a little, you know, there's a little too much chest pounding by SEC schools. But at least that would never happen. I can tell you
no
that.
Chance. No Damn right. No chance. Damn right, Charles.
No, not at all. That's I mean, it's even sad that even the Big Ten should be like, come on, man.
Yeah, what are we doing?
This isn't the foofy Pac-10 here. Like, this is, you know, whatever you want to call it. Like,
Pac-8.
Yeah, Pac-8, Pac-whatever Pac it is at this point. Yeah. Yeah, that's unbelievable. You should get in on that, though.
If I agree.
Does the radio station have the budget?
Just send us out there. I'll run out with – I don't care what colors you put me in. I'll just run out behind USC players and yell at them the whole
taunt
time.
People.
It's fine with me.
You should wear the radio station colors and run out.
There you go.
That's great. I think it's worth that would be worth the advertising alone.
I agree.
Frankly, if I was any business owner, I'd be like, as long as we can get footage of it, of you running out and whatever I want to put on you, let's get that. Let's put Joe back in the Tigers. The hard Tiger's hat.
Yes.
Okay? Or the hamburger
the hard
or something.
Tiger's hat and a shirt that was a little too small.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's not hard to find those right now.
The medium.
Thank you, Charles. We'll see you next week.
Have a good week.
We'll react to what Charles Robinson had to say there. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.